The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill here on Beat. Oh, I hope you're doing well this morning. And of course, it's that time of the year again. Eurovision 2025, the 69th edition of the Eurovision Song Contest, takes place in Basel in Switzerland next weekend.
Basel, Switzerland. That's it, Orla.
If it's wrong, blame Trevor. That is Trevor O'Grady over there. And he is a Eurovision fanatic. Would we go as far as say fanatic?
Well, the last couple of years, yeah, you can do.
Okay. Well, Forbes wrote an article a few years ago about the Eurovision for confused Americans, and this is what they called it. They said it was an annual tradition that consumes the region in an enthusiastic fervor, culminating in a high-energy musical extravaganza so utterly bizarre in its nature that it leaves the rest of the world scratching its head. And I think that's a fair surmise of what Eurovision is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's about right, Orly, yeah.
Okay, so it is a 12,400-seater arena this year that's going to serve as the Eurovision 2024. Welcome home is the theme. It's celebrating the content's return to Switzerland, where it all began. And of course, look, there's controversy and discussion surrounding the Eurovision this year. But we're here this morning to talk about why and how it has attracted millions since 1956. And Trevor O'Grady is the man to talk to us about that. Now, Trevor, I presume you weren't around during Ireland's heyday in the Eurovision.
No, the last time we won was in 1996.
Were you alive?
And I wasn't even alive, no.
That, of course, was Emer Quinn. We also won in 94, Paula Harrington and Charlie McGettigan. Niamh Kavanagh the year before, Linda Martin the year before, and then back in 1980, 1987 and 1992, Johnny Logan was the winner, and of course, Dana even in 1970. The Eurovision was Ireland's glory. No longer, Jedward couldn't even do it for us, neither could Dustin the turkey. Nope. Trevor, what is it about the Eurovision for you?
For me, I love the way every song is different. No two songs are the same. Uh-huh. And you're always going to have different acts that are going to come and bring something new, because that's what wins Eurovision.
Yeah.
Even if you look at Ireland, you know, last year we sent Bambi Thug, literally a witch. Mm-hmm. This year we're sending a Norwegian lady singing about a Soviet dog. So it's completely random all the time, and no two songs are the same.
What are your first memories of Eurovision?
My first memories, I remember Jedward.
Okay.
That's as far back as I can go.
Wow.
After that, then I remember 2018 when Netta won, and then Loreen won with the second time around with Tattoo.
Okay.
But it's not that far back now, my memories on the Eurovision.
Okay. And Eurovision was what, Jedward was like 2012, so.
2011 and 2012, as far as I know, yeah.
2011 and 2012. Waterline was one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And was Lipstick the other one?
It was, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Have you, like, this year is a big one. It's coming home to Switzerland, where it all began. They've got top threes for the bookies, don't they? What are the three favourites this year?
The three favourites this year are Sweden, then we have Austria, and then we have France.
Okay, so will we start with France then? And this is Luan and Maman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a quick listen to this.
Y'a plus d'amour, y'a plus de lit. Finalement, tu vois, j'ai construit ma vie. Et le vide est grand, les questions aussi. Toi, tu vas comment? Est-ce que tu vois tout ici? Et j'ai bien changé, j'ai bien grandi. De toi j'ai gardé tout ce qui fait qui je suis. Je fais mieux, je sais où je vais.
Yeah, so Luan is French, and she would be best known for performing on The Voice in France.
Okay.
The song itself is entirely in French, and it's called Maman, which is French for the word mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is dedicated to her late mother, who sadly passed away when she was young.
Okay.
And then the song kind of transitions then from her being a daughter to her herself being a mother. And it ends with her own daughter saying the words Maman, which is...
So this is number three. What do you feel about this one? Do you like it?
I like it, but there is another song, which is the Netherlands, Claude with C'est la vie. And that song, France is in third, the Netherlands is in fourth, and the Netherlands slightly does it more for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same theme. It's Claude singing about his late mother.
Oh.
So the exact same almost.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's quite ironic that they had two singing about mothers. Okay.
Yeah.
And number two, the bookie's favourites, that is Austria. This is JJ in Wasted Love. What do we know about this, Trevor?
This is my favourite. This is my winner this year. JJ has been given a 20% chance of winning.
Wow.
JJ himself was born in Vienna, but he actually grew up in Dubai and is currently studying classical music at MUK in Vienna.
Okay.
The lyrics, it starts off, "I'm an ocean of love and you're scared of water. You don't want to go under, so you let me go under." It's such a powerful song. It has such powerful lyrics and the music video is insane. Water appears in the forest, he starts drowning, and then all of a sudden it turns into like a techno video.
Wow.
He's up on the stage and they kind of almost pull him back down from the stage, pull him back to life. I'm really excited to see the staging of the performance. They've been doing rehearsals during the week. We've got some photos. I know there's at least one boat prop. And I know that it's the only song that's going to be performed in just black and white.
Okay,
so it definitely will stand out.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick listen to that. When you let me go, okay, I can see why you like that one. That is from Austria. It's JJ and Wasted Love. That is your favourite. But according to all the talk, the favourite this year is Sweden.
Sweden, the band is called Kaj.
Okay.
And the song is Barabada Bastu.
All right, let's have a quick listen. Naja. Klockan slår, nu är det dags. All bekymmer försvinner strax. Bästa båt i för kropp och själ. Fyra veckor i träpanel. Vet din vårvärme lika bra som tango med arga sajoma. Rixi, kaxi, kolme sauna. Vi ska bara bastu, bastu. All right, what do we know about this band, Trevor? What do you think of this, by the way?
It's good. I think it deserves to be in the top 10, but I don't think it's a winner, to be honest. The song is in Swedish, but it's been performed by a Finnish act. And it's one of those kind of odd songs in that they're singing about a sauna and how they love to go to the sauna. And they talk and they mention about the four wooden walls and how it makes them sweat. It's one that can kind of get stuck in your head.
So like a real novelty song, which the Eurovision does well, I think.
Yeah, but for me personally, it just doesn't do it for me.
Okay, well, according to the bookies, that is the favourite for this weekend's Eurovision final. It is Sweden and Kaj, and that is Bara Bada Bastu. But your favourite, as you said, is JJ and Wasted Love. Will we talk a little bit about Ireland? As you said, we are being represented by a 24-year-old singer born in Norway. Her name is Emmy. She's going to perform Like a Party. What do you think of this? Let's have a quick listen. You have probably heard about this brave little girl. All we know is that she saved the world. She got sent away, but she wasn't afraid. Though she was alone in the dark, big space. Left the cheering crowd, went above the clouds. Rocket going high. Then they said goodbye. She still wonders why, but she loves to fly. I hope like I never die, and that she spins around us still, and that she has a party in the air and always will. I hope that she is dancing every night among the stars. I hope like it is alive, like a party in the sky. This song is really good. We've been given a 51% chance of making it to the grand final. Brilliant.
I think it should be a lot higher than that, Orla.
Okay.
I think it definitely deserves it. So the song is about the Soviet dog who was sent into space.
Oh, brilliant.
And on an experiment and sadly passed away.
Okay.
The song imagines an alternative fate where Laika, the dog, is enjoying a party in space.
Oh.
Yeah. So... And for anyone who's watching this and they haven't seen the act yet, you'll see Emmy and then you'll see kind of a mysterious man behind her wearing sunglasses.
Okay.
That's actually her brother.
Ah, okay.
I only found this out last week. That's her brother and he co-wrote the song with her.
Okay, good stuff. You like this then, do you?
I do, yeah. I think it should be a lot higher up in the odds than what they're giving it. I think we should definitely qualify.
Okay, well, good, really good luck to, and fingers crossed to Emmy for Ireland. Of course, we have another Irish representative in the Eurovision, Trevor, and that is an Irishman who made Eurovision history with the Armenian song. That's Joshua Curran. We talked to him a few weeks ago here on the Sunday Grill, and he wrote a track for Armenia for Eurovision 2025, and he's going into the semi-finals as well, so good luck to him. And of course, a few weeks ago Malta had a bit of trouble as well, didn't they? They had to change the word of one of their songs.
Malta.
In their song.
Yeah, they did, Orla. Malta, we have Mirjana Conte representing Malta. The song was initially called Serving Cant, but that has been changed. The song is now just called Serving.
Okay.
When Cant is sung in the song, it sounds like a bold word, so okay, they're after taking it out. But it is only Maltese for the word singing, is
okay,
all it is.
Serving.
But just while we're on that song, Orla, I really love this one. I think this should definitely make the top 10.
Okay.
The song is about her journey, Mirjana's, of embracing her individuality and not conforming to societal pressure. So the lyrics go, why should we let other people decide when we could be having the time of our lives? So basically she's saying, you know, it doesn't matter what others say, just be you and do your thing.
Love it. That is Malta, and that is Serving now, no longer the second word. Well, the Eurovision semi-finals take place on the 13th and the 15th of May, am I right? And then the grand final takes place on the 17th. That is next Saturday. Will you be watching all of that?
That's right, I will. I'll be watching as much as I can on Tuesday and Thursday, and then I'll be watching all of Saturday because okay, I've booked Sunday off work.
Oh, very good. And tell me, what day is Ireland in the semi-finals?
Ireland is on the second semi-final, so on the Thursday.
Okay, good stuff. And I presume last year's winner, i.e. Switzerland, is not in the semi-finals, and then the top three countries, am I right in saying that, also aren't in the semi-finals?
So in the semi-final, in semi-final one there's 15 participants, 10 will get through, and then in semi-final two there's 16 participants and 10 will get through, but then there's also five countries that always automatically qualify, because they contribute the most to the budget. So they are France, they're France, Italy, the UK, Germany and Spain.
Wow.
And then the host country, which is Switzerland this year.
Okay. Well, we won't say much about that. That didn't do too well for Ollie Alexander last year, did it, getting into the finals? And
0 points on one of them, yeah.
Nil point. Trevor, thank you so much. As you've probably guessed, Trevor O'Grady is a Eurovision fan. He will be watching it Tuesday, Thursday and then Saturday. Will you? Well, you know, RTE is the place to be, and BBC as well. That is commentary from Marty Whelan, and then on BBC it will be
Graham Norton, as far as I know.
Graham Norton, I'm hoping, will still be there. Trevor, thanks a million.
Thanks, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday morning. You are listening to Beat, and the Blackwater Valley Opera Festival in West Waterford recently announced that soprano Eva Kavanagh is the first recipient of the Breed Phelan Emergent Talent Award. The bursary was presented after a special performance at Kildare Village, and it forms part of Blackwater Valley Opera Festival's ongoing commitment to nurture exceptional Irish operatic talent. Now, Eva is from County Carlow. She's from Hackettstown. So we had to celebrate her and chat to her on the Sunday Grill this morning and chat about her career in the world of opera so far. You're very welcome, Eva, to the Sunday Grill.
Hello. Thank you so much.
It's lovely to talk to you. We need to talk about how a singer from County Carlow becomes an opera singer. How did you discover you were a soprano? How did you get into it? All those things. But first, let's talk about being the first bursary winner of the Breed Phelan Emergent Talent Award. How did that feel?
Oh, well, I remember getting the call from Conlett Stanley, who is very high up in BVOF.
Okay.
He's a lovely man. I've met him a few times throughout Ream, you know, in my college and stuff.
Okay.
And I got the email and then the phone call just to say, look, you know, we want you, we've chosen you to be this bursary winner. And to be honest, it didn't feel real. I was just like, where did this email actually come to my account, and or am I dreaming? And I feel like it really only set in and like fully kicked in when I was down in Kildare recently,
at Kildare Village,
yes, for the announcement of it. And I was it's such a surreal feeling, because I feel like it's been something I've always been hoping for and pushing for when I'm in my practice rooms practicing my pieces, learning. You know, it's always been something, you know, that every singer wants, is to be acknowledged and appreciated for their work and stuff. And it's just, I don't know, I just feel like ever since getting that call that I have been the motivation that I have now is like 100 times bigger and stronger. And like, I have so many more aspirations now because of this incredible bursary.
Amazing. And BVOF is the Blackwater Valley Opera Festival.
Yes.
Now, a nice little bit of money with the bursary that'll get you through a few months of college when you're studying, but also you're getting to perform at the BVOF bursary recital at the festival, which is this month from the 27th of May to the 2nd of June, and you'll be performing with other people who receive bursaries. Is it the performance that's important? Is the money important? What way does this work for you?
I feel like I love, like, my mom and dad would always say that, like, from a young age, I've always wanted to be, like, I love being on stage. Uh-huh. I love doing all of that. So I love performing. And I feel like I didn't really understand why when I was a kid, because I was a kid, you know, yeah. And I just wanted to be up on stage. But I've noticed now, especially after studying for a few years in Riem, that I just love being able to perform for people and, you know, have, like, even if I was to touch someone's heart, like just one person's heart, mm-hmm. you know, or like make someone resonate with a piece, just even one person, that means so much to me. And I feel like a lot of singers would say that it's just the gift of giving to other people mm. and allowing them to hear, you know, the beauty of opera and stuff, because sometimes it can go underappreciated.
Because I think as a genre of music, opera is probably underappreciated. I don't know if that's a word, but like little known, especially for younger people. So how did it come into your life? Can you even remember watching an opera, or was opera part of your family? How did it all start for you?
So it wasn't part of my family ever. Now, my mum, I always pay my mom a great thanks, because she used to get singing lessons.
Okay.
And I remember sitting in on hers one time. I think I was like six. And I just remember listening to her and I was like, wow, like this is... And she used to always sing to myself and my siblings as well. So mm-hmm. she was the first person, or the first voice I would have heard like growing up. And I always thought she was the most beautiful, like incredible singer, like she'd such a mellow mezzo quality.
Okay. Did she know that herself? Like, was that why she was getting lessons?
She would have got lessons as kind of like a little hobby of hers.
Yeah.
And she would have practiced some pieces and stuff with her teacher. And I just remember sitting in, and my mom, I don't really remember the aftermath, but my mom said we were driving home and I was just fascinated and was begging her, "Mommy, can I please, you know, can I go to my own singing lessons? Wow. Can I have my own singing lessons?" And I went in anyways, and that was fine. And obviously for the first couple of years, it was all about just building a solid, you know, ground and solid base for my voice and stuff. And then I think kind of like really 14, 15 was when I chose to go into studying like classical music rather than musical theatre.
Okay.
And the reason is I just love singing the high notes, and I love the like sound and how it feels in my voice. I feel like it, where it sits, where classical music sits, really feels comfortable for my voice.
Okay. And you're a soprano.
Yes.
And
yes.
You've taken it to, you know, university level. You're studying a Bachelor of Music in Vocal Performance at the Royal Irish Academy of Music. And is
yes.
performance what you, you know, your main ambition is, that you are a actual touring, performing opera singer?
Yes, that is my dream. I really, you know, that is my big, big hope and dream. And I hope that I can, you know, reach that dream one day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love like just like my biggest love is the performing and being on stage and singing and learning the pieces and then, you know, performing them then and feeling just, you know, like that I'm like, I just love the music. And there's always something that's so interesting about opera music is there always is such like an incredible story behind mm-hmm. it. You know, like they're so like they're like, you know, really, I love operas because they're so dramatic. Like, you know, the Kim Kardashians like dramas would have nothing on it, like, you know, like back in the day, because they're so just they're just full of drama and, you know, excitement. And that's I just love the stories and the storytelling.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, like, there's so many people I'm sure that are listening that have never been to an opera. And I recently went to an opera at the festival in Wexford with my students. Yeah. You know, they'll show performances during the day for students. And I remember gasping during the opera because I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. And I also didn't expect to enjoy it so much, to be so like enthralled by it. And, you know, it's very dramatic, isn't it? And almost diva-ish or...
Yeah, it really is. And I feel like the big misconception about opera is people feel, you know, some people might feel that they might stand out like a sore thumb, like they're not meant to be there. You know, it opera is for everyone. Like back in the day when all of them great composers were writing, like it wasn't for a particular group of people. Like it was for everyone. Like it was like everyone was to listen. And, you know, like it's, you know, it, there's an opera for everyone, and the music and everything. It's, you know, and also a big thing as well is there's always, always, always surtitles. So like surtitles, you know what they're saying. Sometimes that's a big thing as well. I remember my dad, my debut opera last January, he was like, oh, sure, I'm not sure if I'll know anything they're saying. Like, I don't speak Italian. And I was like, well, look, it's okay because they're going to have surtitles and you'll know exactly what we're saying and stuff. And, you know, when we're conversating on stage. And he loved it. He really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, brilliant. Do you have a favourite opera, even one that you've never performed in? Have you one that you love and go back to?
Yes, I don't know, like, I feel like, to be honest, like, I'm such a stereotypical soprano when I say, like, my favourite composer ever is, like, Puccini.
Okay.
Like, he's, I just love, like, you know, Madame Butterfly.
Oh, yes, of course, everyone will know that, of course.
Like, all of them, La Bohème.
Lovely, and really, like, music that we would straight away recognise,
Gorgeous
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, listen, congratulations. It's such great news to hear that you got that Breed Phelan Emerging Talent Bursary and the first bursary winner of it for the Blackwater Valley Opera Festival. And the Opera Festival is running from May 27th to June 2nd. You are performing there, but your bursary performance is sold out. But people can get more details on everything that's happening there at blackwatervalleyopera.ie. Eva Kavanagh from Hackettstown in County Carlow, a soprano and now bursary winner. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday morning. You're listening to Beat and the Sunday Grill, and congratulations are due to Enniscorthy Youth Reach. They've been awarded first place in the St. Patrick's Mental Health Association Frame of Mind Short Film Competition. They're just back from the awards ceremony, and coordinator Hugh Dunn and Ethan Lennon, who is one of the stars of the film and also is in Enniscorthy Youth Reach as a student, are here to tell me more. Well, let's have a quick listen to a clip from the movie, Hugh and Ethan, and then we'll have a chat about it. And Ethan, just in case you get really famous after this now, you're the first person who features in this, okay? So we want people to know that is Ethan Lennon.
Welcome, racing fans, to the most unique karting event of the year. Today's final race of the season isn't just about speed, it's an opportunity to show thanks and gratitude to the driver's chosen charities. This year's rookie, Saoirse Brooklyn, has shown her class this year, winning all but two of her races. She starts at the back of the grid today due to a three-place grid penalty. Our two presenters, Jenny and Layla, will try and have a quick word with the drivers as they head out to the track.
Thanks, Ethan. Let's talk to some of our drivers. Sharon, you're representing St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Why'd you choose this charity?
A few of my friends got the support and help they needed with their mental health.
Saoirse, you're racing for the Irish Cancer Society. What does this race mean to you?
Well, it means everything to me. I mean, I spent a lot of time in hospital when I was younger. I just want to give back to those who helped me.
Craig, you're driving.
There you go. That is the short film. It is called Driven by Gratitude. It's 3 minutes long. It's available on YouTube if you want to check it out. Hugh and Ethan, congratulations. Hugh, you're the coordinator there at Enniscorthy Youth Reach. And this is kind of your baby entering this film competition, isn't it?
That's right, Orla, that's right. This is our second year entering the competition. We entered it last year for the first time, and we were runners-up. And this is our second time entering it now, and we were very fortunate to win this time. We were involved some years ago there with the Irish Cancer Society with the Exhale competition back in 2015-16. Okay. And we were fortunate enough to win an overall award and a national award that year as well. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, we like doing some films here in Inniscorthy, okay. UH, yes.
Are you a bit of a film buff then, Hugh?
Yes, I suppose so.
And Ethan, I have to say, I am a presenter and you did some excellent acting as a presenter in this short film. Did you enjoy getting involved?
I did. Yeah, absolutely. It was my first time in a production like this. And with my friends, I've acted out in silly films in the past. Mm. But like, this is kind of my introduction to something like this.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the film.
Well, the film is about, it's basically just about mental health associations and raising awareness for things like the St. Patrick's Mental Health Services and Irish Cancer Society and Alzheimer's Society and Laura Lynn and organisations such as those. And it just plays a message is about a girl that has cancer, and it's based on gratitude as well.
Brilliant.
So it just shows like that she's grateful to be alive. And
you're
better.
Going go-karting, isn't that right?
Yeah, it was in go-karts in a race. Yeah, that was the main depiction of it.
Brilliant. And because of that, it's called Driven by Gratitude. It's about gratitude and about go-karting as well. Was it you, Hugh, who came up with this idea?
Yeah, in conjunction with the learners, yeah, we came up with the idea. It was something we had an opportunity, I suppose, with a local track there for to do the go-kart. So that was one of the main reasons. And I suppose because it was based around a young lady recovering from cancer, it was something sort of, unfortunately, it was a bit close to me and my family over Christmas there. So, the whole thing was to get the year one LCA, the Leaving Cert Applied learners involved in the film, which we did, obviously, like, you know.
Brilliant. And Ethan, has it given you kind of a bit of a grow for filmmaking? Do you think it's something that you'd like to do in the future?
Yeah, it has been for a long time as well. It definitely gave me more insight into it, and I just thought, well, this maybe could be for me. And I was up at the award ceremony, and the woman presenting it actually told me that there's potential for a job in journalism or acting in films like this. So it's
that you have that talent to do that.
Yeah, it absolutely boosted me, and I just thought maybe it is for me, you know.
Oh, isn't that brilliant? What a great way, not just the prize, but finding out stuff like that and finding out something that you're really passionate about. And of course, it's these sort of films are important because it is Mental Health Awareness Month this month. So it is quite apt that you win that prize in the Frame of Mind short film competition. Listen, we'll leave it there. Hugh and Ethan, well done to the both of you. Hugh Dunn is the coordinator of Enniscorthy Youth Reach, and Ethan Lennon is one of the students there. I'm sure we'll hear much more from you in the film industry as years go by. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Orla. Thank you. Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
The roaring 20s of the 21st century have become synonymous with a few things. I'm talking cold plunges, saunas, tariffs, and running. And a healthy lifestyle is definitely the buzz of this decade, and running is a big part of that. In fact, in a survey carried out by Decathlon, they found that 1 in 5 runners took up the hobby during the pandemic to help deal with the boredom of lockdowns. They also found that Bondi Beach is top on the list of places that people would love to go running, while the Waterford Greenway right here in the southeast is one of the best running spots in Ireland. So with that in mind, let's have a chat to some 20-something runners. They are Emily Bulster and Cody King, and they're part of the On The Run Running Club, which is based in Waterford, and they run every Sunday and Wednesday. You can find them on Instagram on The Run Running, and they joined me this morning on the Sunday Grill. You're very welcome, Emily and Cody.
Thanks Orla.
Thanks for talking to me. I presume you're up early. Your run is already done, is it?
Yeah. our day is off to a good start already.
Good woman. Tell me, how did you get into running, Emily?
I suppose I got into it a little bit during COVID when we were a bit isolated. It was a hobby to pick up and pass the day a little bit. And I think Cody was the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you natural runners, Cody? Did you find you were a natural runner? I think I can honestly say I'm not a natural runner.
No. We're literally starting off running for a minute, walking for 30 seconds, running for a minute for like 2K.
Okay.
And yeah, then we just naturally like progressed the running as we went on. But yeah, it was during COVID. We just started doing a little bit of running and then
kept it going. 5K
yes.
Vibes.
Yeah. And you got to the 10 weeks because I've got to week 4 and then I've given up.
Yeah, perseverance. You'll get there too.
And did you find, I know it was during COVID, so you couldn't really run with people, but do you find now running with people is what like boosts you on to keep going with it?
Yeah, so it was coming out of COVID when we created On The Run. Okay. So I think we just, yeah, found that running by yourself during COVID, it was quite isolating and lonely. And we thought, why not make a running group where everyone can join us? So yeah, we started off in the Greenway. There was like 18 of us on that first day, yeah. Which was good.
Okay.
And then that was May of 2024. So yeah, we've kept going since then.
And okay. I think like part of it being like so attractive to people is that, you know, the pace, it's not too fast. Like mm-hmm. And we do kind of branch into different groups and everything to make it more accessible to everyone. Because I found even when I first started running, like I was taking off really fast and then I'd have to stop. Whereas I feel like even like, going at your own pace and taking it easy does make it more enjoyable and you're more likely to continue running mm-hmm. then.
And have you gone on to, you know, run 10Ks, half marathons, things like that?
Yeah, Emily and I have done, we've done two half marathons.
Three
half marathons, sorry. We've done three half marathons. The two was Clontarf half and then we done one, the Hackney half in London.
Wow, okay.
But like in COVID, if you had said to us,
oh yeah,
to do a half marathon.
When we were first doing the first half, I was like, oh no,
I'm never can't. Again.
Yeah, but you get there.
Yeah, hopefully a marathon now. We're thinking 2020, when we're 26 next year, okay. We want to do 26 miles. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be 26 in 2026 and you're going to do 26 miles.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, well
that's
done.
That's Cody's plan.
So you need to enter a few lotteries now. I see the London one. And I do notice that as well, that people are almost taking holidays and incorporating maybe a marathon or a half marathon in it. And you did the Hackney half, as you said. So it's another great way to go and see the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We went Friday to Sunday in London, but you know, we got to
short and snappy. Yeah,
we got to see a bit of London, went shopping and went out to eat and
Camden Markets. That was nice.
Yeah, and then done the half marathon.
Nice, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Then would you agree with the assessment that a healthy lifestyle, running, saunas, that's the new social life of younger people almost, that nightclubs are out and a healthy lifestyle is in?
100%. Yeah,
like we rarely go out nowadays. Like I think it would have to be like, you know, maybe like a birthday or even at birthdays sometimes we're just like, oh, let's do something nice and relaxing.
But like, we do it all as in like our weekends are typically,
oh yeah, we're not bored at all. Like we've so many more hobbies because we're doing all these things, which is, it's so nice as well because it's like adding to our lifestyle rather than like a hangover, like taking away from it.
Yeah. And tell me, what are the things, what are you adding on? Are you doing those things, the saunas and stuff like that?
We have a high rocks competition at the end of the month.
Okay.
So we're really into high rocks. And then we do the sauna and cold plunges and sea swimming. And
we've recently went out to the stove sauna in Ballyscannon Lake, and also Endorphin,
and then we do our own events as well, like on the 18th of May we're doing it's our 1 year anniversary, mm-hmm. So we're doing an event for Breast Cancer Ireland, so we're raising money for that. We've got over 30 sponsors from like local businesses. Brilliant. Across Waterford and Ireland.
Okay.
So we're going to do a raffle and then also just taking donations, but it's on the 18th of May at 9:30 in Wellfed, and we're going to do a 5k run, everyone wear pink, and then do a raffle and cakes and coffee afterwards.
Brilliant.
So, stuff like that we'd be doing. doing little events like that.
And are you getting to know people? And are they all your own age group or older people coming to your running club as well?
We would actually have a bit of a mix. Like, I suppose probably branching from like late teens to 40s. But I mean, that's not saying that's inclusive. Like, everyone could come. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are getting to know everyone really well. Like, as in, we're going to Wellfest with them this weekend up in Dublin.
And a trip to Fermanagh with them, the run club as well. Like, these are friends that we've met through running. Like, we didn't know half of these girls and guys that are in the run club until the run club. So it's been a great way to meet new people and make new friends.
Yeah, we've met through running, but now they're not only running friends.
That's great. And is it mostly girls then?
Yeah, it's mostly girls, but not on purpose. But like, we don't promote the run club as only girls, but for some reason.
For some strange reason, it's more attractive to girls. We don't know why.
Well, maybe it's the social ability about it as well, as you were saying. Now, you were saying that you run on the Greenway, and Decathlon named that as one of the most beautiful places to run in Ireland. Would you agree with that? Is it lovely to run on the Greenway? And what part of the Greenway do you run on?
Yeah, it's amazing, the Greenway. It's so nice. So we start off at Carriganore Greenway, and then we just do 5K down towards
Mount Congreve, is it?
Mount Congreve, it's so nice. Yeah, on a good day when the sun's out.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Well, definitely. Emily and Cody, what would you say to someone like me who's got to week 4 of Couch to 5K and has completely given up, and then is kicking myself when I'm on holidays and I'd love to be doing a little 5K and going for a coffee to myself? How do you motivate yourself? What would you say the benefits of running are for you?
I'd say, being a bit biased, join a run club. I think the social aspect of a run club just gets you going, and you've got kind of the motivation, and if you know other people are waiting for you at the run club, or if you've said like there's a bit of accountability to it.
Yeah.
And then also just, if we were able to do it running for a minute and stopping for 30 seconds, and now, you know, we are doing half marathons and the like, so if we're able to do it, anyone's able to do it, really. Like, it, and it's just,
and slow and steady. Like, don't go all in at once. Like, I think if you go a bit easy on yourself and, you know, get there gradually, it will make it more enjoyable along the way too.
Great advice.
Yeah, come to the run club.
Well,
yeah, you'll have to come.
Your run club is called, well, we'll see, girls. When you say you're slow, I don't think you could be as slow as I am when it comes to running. But I agree with you. The thing I like about running is it gets, 5K gets over and done really quickly, and you feel amazing after it.
You feel so good.
Yeah, it is so good.
Yeah, no, we love it.
Well, listen, if anyone wants to join your running club, it is on Instagram. It's On The Run Running Club, and you can find the schedule for May up there as well. And as you said, next weekend you are celebrating 1 year of On The Run Running Club with a 5K run and then some treats afterwards. And that's from Wellfed in Waterford. You'll get more details on The Run Running Club on Instagram. Just quickly, girls, do you feel safer running? I know it's a terrible thing to say that we have to think like this as women, but is that a thing about it too, that you feel safer running in a group?
100%.
Yeah, definitely, Orla. Like, it's so much nicer to be part of a group, especially when it can be quite dark and stuff, that you'd rather go with a bunch of friends than go on your own.
In the winter, definitely. I probably only would have ran in the winter with the run club.
Same.
Not, I wouldn't have went out by myself.
Especially in the dark evenings. Like, I mean, the summer, it's easier to go out on your own, but...
Yeah, and it's very easy to freak yourself out as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a motivator for me to run faster because I'd be so scared.
Well, that's a good one.
I'd be running really quickly.
Oh, the irony of that. Well, listen, Emily and Cody, your Instagram for your running club is On The Run Running Club. The schedule for May is up there. They promise they have a slow-paced loop as well. So if you feel you'd like to get into running, then On The Run Running Club could be for you. Enjoy your celebrations next week. Next Sunday, May 18th is when you're having your 1 year celebrations. It's from the Wellfed Cafe, and that's in the Northern Industrial Estate. You can get more details on the Instagram. It's On The Run Running Club, and you've lots of treats and things in store next week, don't you?
We do.
Brilliant.
Course, yeah, it'll be a lovely event.
Lovely. Congratulations. Well done on 1 year. And thanks a million for talking to me, Emily and Cody.
Thanks so much, Orla.
Have a good
lovely
day.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, you're listening to Beat. Let's do movies. And really, there was only one that we could talk about this week, and it is the return of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's been a bit lackluster for them recently, I would say, since before the pandemic, would you?
Yeah, that was kind of the peak. Endgame is like, what, 5 years old now?
Yeah, I think it's 2019, 6 years old.
Yeah, that was kind of the peak. There was a little bit of Spider-Man afterwards, but then after that,
sayonara.
Hit and miss.
Yeah. Well, Thunderbolts has been described as the first and best example of Marvel's new movie strategy, and it's fair to say it has done well for them. $76 million in its first weekend. It centers on lesser known heroes compared to Captain America and Thor, but it has a mega cast, and Brian will explain all after we have a listen to this.
Everyone here has done bad things. Shadow ops. Robbing government labs. Contract kills.
Yeah, so?
So, someone wants us gone. What the hell?
Brought up with this belief that there are good guys and there are bad guys.
What's the plan?
This could get messy.
But eventually, you come to realize that there are bad guys and there are worse guys and nothing else. Look at you. So adorable.
Don't worry.
She's bulletproof.
What happened to bulletproof?
It's bulletproof-ish.
There you go. That is Thunderbolts. And before we start, full disclosure, I love Florence Pugh. Pugh.
What a way to say a sentence.
I love her. I think she's amazing.
Yeah, I think she's like her and Timmy Chalamet, I think, are the two.
They're the big ones.
They're the big two, honestly.
Full disclosure, Timothée's not in this.
Yeah, he's not in it.
But
he was advised by Leonardo DiCaprio to not do franchises.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. Don't do superhero movies and don't do something else.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
And it kind of keeps him that to be that kind of elite person who's only in the kind of one off things and have these projects you can go deep on and then let go away from.
Dune.
Yeah, but that's like a big meaty role. That's like four movies max. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Florence Pugh has already been in, what, two?
Yeah.
But Marvelin could be in another 87.
Yeah,
do you know,
true.
So.
David Harbour's in this as well, and he's quite brilliant with quite a Russian accent. Now, that's where I stop with my Marvel
talk.
Yeah,
skipping past a bit of the...
Yeah, because that's where I stop. Because me and Marvel, we're not the best of pals. Don't totally understand it. Take it away, Brian.
That's because every time we talk about one, you're like, yeah. So I'm going to go see that. And I'm like, yeah, but there's so much leads up to this.
I just actually said outside to Jolene, I'm going to go see this. And she did look at me quite oddly.
I think you could. I think you could. Why not?
I saw a few surmises on YouTube. So if I watch those, would I be okay?
Summaries.
They surmised it for you.
Is that a word?
That's a word, Brian.
Oh, I learned. Who would have thought from you of all people?
Oh, there
but anyway.
You go.
So the Thunderbolts movie is all about basically the people who are kind of just like the losers. They're like the ones that are kind of thrown out to the wind. They're all on their own.
Okay.
Kind of put together.
Give us an example. Do we have names? Like names of the actual...
Yelena Belova.
Yeah, but
Bucky
like...
Bucky Barnes.
No, I mean like the names of their... Like Thor, Captain America.
I'm naming them.
Oh, okay.
Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Okay, so it doesn't really roll off your tongue, does it?
Well, like there was the guy, John Walker was the second Captain America,
okay.
But then he killed a man in front of everyone and then people didn't
so
like
they
that.
So fired him.
But there's a few names in there, to be fair, but like I know you're not going to know. They're all like random villains from different movies, honestly. Apart from Bucky, who's kind of a hero but was also a villain in another movie.
So Bucky's the only one that really has
He was Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
You look so lost right now. And that's like the most well-known person in this as well.
Is his name Winter Soldier?
Well, like his character, his like superhero name.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm saying. Are there any superhero names?
That's what I said. It's a Winter Soldier. And then you have like, well, John Walker is also still John Walker. Red Guardian is in it. Then there's, I don't know, on IMDb it just has their character names, and I can't remember the other ones. But it's an interesting thing, because while you were talking about nothing there, I looked up the writers. And the writers are actually, so Eric Pearson, he wrote, like, he worked on Thor Ragnarok with Taika Waititi, which was brilliant.
Yeah, loved it.
And Joanna.
I don't know why that rolled off my tongue, that lie that I loved it, never saw it.
Oh, it was fantastic. But Joanna Kalo, never heard of her.
Nope.
But she writes The Bear.
Ah, very good.
Okay, so like that kind of has that kind of like ragtag group of people that kind of hate each other that work together well. That makes sense now, do you know?
All right, tell me the story.
So essentially, Florence Pugh is kind of the main character in it.
Yeah, what's her character's name?
Yelena Belova.
Oh, okay, you told me that already.
She was Scarlett Johansson. She's Scarlett Johansson's sister, but Scarlett Johansson, spoilers, died in the franchise.
Right.
Not in real life, she's still going strong.
Yeah.
And
she was what in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Black Widow.
Oh yes, thank you.
Okay, so then we actually met. So then, David Harbour is actually Florence Pugh's dad in this.
Yeah,
he's Red Guardian.
Is he Scarlett's dad?
Yes.
Okay, they're not
you're hoping sisters. For a bit of drama or something. It's not EastEnders, it's the MCU. She's sent on these missions to just kind of go around and blow up these labs and whatever.
Okay,
and then she goes to this facility. So Julia Louis-Dreyfus is like kind of the person who puts all these people together.
Okay.
She's like this kind of bad politician person, which I feel like is so unrelatable in today's climate. Mm. All it is now is good politicians.
Amazing.
I've never heard of a bad one.
Never.
So she sends Florence Pugh on a mission. She's kind of her boss. She goes there. She has to assassinate this one person. Turns out there's like six of them there. And they're all trying to kill each other. Okay. There's only like four of them. But
okay, they're set up.
They're set up because they're trying to, like, they're to end each other so that she's clear, because she's actually going through like
an impeachment type
trial. Yes. Okay. So then they realize, oh, wait, this is what's happening to us. We must escape this. We've been set up to go here. And we have to kind of work together to save ourselves.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Exactly. So, but then when they're fighting, they accidentally release this guy called Bob.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what the hell is Bob doing?
Okay.
And turns out Bob is like a pretty powerful dude.
Okay.
But
I'm in.
So they've been trying to make their own super serum, like in Captain America. That's the super serum. And from that, they tried to make their own, and they were given to random people. But what the serum does is like makes all the qualities you have way bigger.
Yes.
So Captain America became this really virtuous person because he was already virtuous when he wasn't, like, jacked. But the problem with Bob is quite depressed. Uh-huh. So what the serum did is really elevate his depression.
Oh, okay.
Which was quite, because then the depression became a superpower and he became the void. And he would drag people into the void of, like, their bad memories and, like, anything that has been getting them down in life.
Okay.
And it's honestly a battle with depression.
Okay,
is what the whole movie is about. And it's very interesting because, like, Lena's whole thing is, like, she's kind of depressed. It's like, she's kind of lost in life. She has nothing. She kind of has, like, she's going nowhere. She's, like, doing these missions, but she doesn't really care anymore, like, you know? Mm. And I really feel like it was, like, a Marvel movie. It was, like, a Pixar movie told through a Marvel movie. Do you know? Like, it was that, like, but, like, obviously kind of more on the nose a bit, like, but it was really well done. Like,
you loved it?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Genuinely great movie. I didn't, like, I went in thinking this will be fun because Suicide Squad in the DC thing, James Gunn directed, loved it. I was like, I love just when they get the ragtag group of, like, oh, these are terrible, like, these are nothing characters.
Mm.
And we just put them together and they just do something. It's like, it doesn't have to be, like, obviously they're always going to end up, like, trying to save the world, but the fact that they're just kind of, like, all okay with themselves now. Like, do you mean it's like they have to kind of accept who they are and just do what they can,
you know,
rather than like, we have every power in the universe and we can do this. And it's like, okay, well, calm down a bit.
It's a bit deeper, is it?
It is a bit deeper, but I think that is what Marvel has been missing.
Yeah, totally. And like, that's what people want from their movies these days, I think, as well.
Guardians Volume 3, I feel, was the last proper good Marvel movie. And mm-hmm. that was intense, but that was phenomenal, like, you know? So, I don't know. I had a way better time than I thought I would, and it kind of gets you hyped for Marvel again, which is, it's been a while since that's been a thing. Like.
And of course, they've already told us what the next one is out next year. It is Avengers Doomsday as well. So we will... Yeah. Look forward to that. But before that, let's
you'll look forward to it, obviously.
Give us some black puddings there.
I will give it like 8.5.
Okay. All right.
It's a good amount of black pudding.
That is.
It would fill you up on a Sunday morning.
Surely would. 8.5 black puddings out of 10 for Thunderbolts, starring Florence Pugh.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. David Harbour, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Julia Louis-Dreyfus in there too. Other names I don't really recognise. Sebastian Stan, I know, but I don't know why I know. But anyway,
because he's very famous and he's been in many famous movies that we've talked about.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.